Now comes a very important verse. أَيَوَدُّ أَحَدُكُمْ Would one of you love أَن تَكُونَ لَهُ جَنَّةٌ That he should have a garden مِن نَخِيل From palms وَأَعْنَابٍ And vines تَجْرِي مِن تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارِ Underneath which rivers flow لَهُ فِيهَا مِن كُلِّ الثَّمَرَاتِ And for him, he has all kinds of fruits therein. وَأَصَابَهُ الْكِبَرُ And old age reaches him. وَلَهُ ذُرِّيَّةٌ دُعَفَاءُ And he has weak children. فَأَصَابَهَا إِعْصَارٌ Then a whirlwind reaches the garden. فِيهِ نَارٌ In which is fire. فَاحْتَرَقَتْ So the garden is destroyed. This is the example of someone who spends for the wrong reasons. Or spends in the wrong method, or after spending deletes his sadaqat by either man, or adha, or riya. These were the three things that we read that delete sadaqat. Now what happens is, that such a person is exactly like a man who had a beautiful garden, a fabulous garden, and one fine day the garden was destroyed. And what's more, this happened on the day or at a time when he himself was old, incapable of earning more, and he had weak children who were dependent upon him. If you look at the verse, this describes someone, by worldly standards, is desperate. This is how we would describe such a person, that he's desperate. He's really old, he can't earn more, he's got weak children, which means that it's incumbent upon him to earn more. But how is he going to earn more when his garden has been destroyed? This verse describes the situation of such a person when he shows up on the day of judgment. This will be our plight. On the day of judgment, we will be like this old man who's too old to earn anymore. None of us will be sent back to dunya to give more sadaqat. An old man whose children and who himself, they are actually depending upon that garden. In the same way, on the day of judgment, good deeds are all we have to take us to Jannah. So if someone reaches the day of judgment and discovers to his horror that all his good deeds have gone up in flames, what do you think would the reaction of such a one be? Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu said about such a person that this is someone who is very old and he spent his life earning good deeds. He gave this example, he explained this example and he said, this is like someone who is very old. He spent his life earning good deeds. And then, when he had earned all those good deeds, towards the end of his life, he became involved in sins. He became involved in disobedience. And because he became involved in disobedience, what happens? حَتَّى أَغْرَقَ أَعْمَالَهُ He destroyed all his deeds. Ibn Abbas explained this verse and said, this is for someone who was very rich and all his life he obeyed Allah. And then, God forbid, towards the end of his life, he lost it. He lost it and he started disobeying Allah. And he started sinning. And he started incurring the anger of Allah. And he destroyed all his deeds. So if you can look at this verse, do you understand what this verse means? You can look at it from two angles. Number one, that this is someone who spent his life doing good deeds and then towards the end of his life did something terrible that destroyed everything. Such a person on the day of judgment will be desperate, penniless. But there will be no one to help him and the fault is his. And how do we destroy our good deeds? By man, by speaking about them. By adha, by taunting people, and by riya, by showing off. These are the three ways whereby we destroy our good deeds. And any person who destroys his good deeds on the day of judgment will be just like this old man who is desperate for money but has no way to earn it. كَذَلِكَ يُبَيِّنُ اللَّهُ لَكُمُ الْآيَاتِ Thus does Allah explain for you the verses لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَفَكَّرُونَ So that you may reflect. Now we have to reflect upon the deeds that we have done. Have we been guilty of boasting? Have we been guilty of speaking about them, mentioning them casually? Or taunting people, God forbid, or humiliating others, or showing off, And if we have, then do tawbah. Do tawbah and start earning some more good deeds to make up for all the ones we deleted. Now comes an important question. What should we spend? What should we give? Ya ayyuhal lazeena amanu, O you who believe, anfiqu, spend, min tayyibati ma kasabtum, from the pure things that you have earned. Wa mimma akhrajna lakum min al-ardi, and from what we have brought out for you from the earth. This is ushar. Ushar is agricultural produce. 1/40th of the produce that you harvest from the land. وَلَا تَيَمَّمُ الْخَبِيثَ مِنْهُ. Do not intend impure things. تُنْفِقُونَ, that you would spend it. وَلَسْتُمْ بِأَخَذِي, but you would never take it yourself. إِلَّا أَن تُغْمِدُوا فِيهِ, but that you close your eyes therein. وَعْلَمُوا أَنُّوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ غَنِيٌ حَمِيدٌ, that Allah is rich, praiseworthy. Now this is a very important verse. We find that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as I'm sure most of you are already aware of, had with him a group of sahaba known as Ashab Sufa. You've heard of Ashab Sufa, haven't you? Companions of the Bench. These were men who dedicated their lives completely to the pursuit of knowledge, acquiring knowledge of a hadith, knowledge of the Quran from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This left them with no time to earn for themselves. So what the Sahaba used to do, the other Sahaba who were working, would come and leave food behind for them, and these Sahaba would eat from it. Now we find on one occasion that someone came and left behind stale dates, whereupon this verse was revealed. Now when you read this verse, think to yourself about the sort of things we give fi sabilillah. For example, sometimes it happens after a calamity such as a flood takes place, and people are collecting money, and people are collecting clothes. If you've ever seen the sort of clothes that people give, not all, but some people will give clothes that have been washed and ironed and are decent, wearable clothes. Some people will give expensive clothes, and some people will give nothing but that which is worthless trash. Clothes which are torn, shoes which are worn out, shoes which are broken, which cannot be worn by anyone, shoes which are so filthy that they fill you with the feeling of disgust and repulsion. This is the way people give. They will give their torn clothes, the shabbiest clothes, things which are totally unfit for any human being to use. But that's what we give fi sabilillah. We take it as a wonderful chance to declutter our junk. Let's unload our junk onto these poor people, because they have nothing, and even this will come in handy for them. This is the diabolical way whereby we justify giving such trash. Look at the words of the verse, أَنْفِقُوا مِنْ طَيِّبَاتِ مَا كَسَبْتُمْ. Please do not insult any human being like that. Give of the pure things that you have earned. The pure things. Number one, it must be legally earned. It must be halal. Sadqa given from haram money is not accepted anyway, because Allah is pure and He only accepts that which is pure. And second, that which you are giving should be something that you would use yourself. And do not intend the impure. Do not give something which is so useless, something which is such a piece of junk that you are giving it away. وَلَسْتُمْ بِأَخَذِهِ, but you would never dream of taking it yourself. إِلَّا أَن تُغْمِدُوا فِيهِ, and if you had to take it, you would close your eyes. And this is exactly what happens. How do we feel when someone gives us a gift which we consider beneath us? How do we feel? Do you feel happy? Do you feel flattered? You feel insulted. We feel insulted and we feel furious. And we think, why did she bother? I didn't want her rotten gift anyway. So here we find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaching us, تُنْفِقُونَ, you spend it, لَسْتُمْ بِأَخِذِهِ, you would not take it yourself, إِلَّا أَن تُغْمِدُوا فِيهِ, unless that you had to close your eyes in it, وَعْلَمُوا أَنُّوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ غَنِيٌ حَمِيدٌ, that Allah is rich, He didn't need this sadaqah, and He is Hamid, He is praiseworthy in Himself. Why does Allah say غَنِيٌ حَمِيدٌ here? Because when you give fi sabil Allah, it's ostensibly for Allah. When you give a sadaqah, remind yourself that I'm giving this as a gift to Allah. Okay? Now, when you're giving a gift to some important personality, you're very particular about their likes and dislikes. You're very particular about the way you present it, about the time that you give it, and the way that you present it to them. You would not dream of giving them something that's unworthy, inferior, or obviously a passed on gift. But why is it that when it comes to giving to Allah, suddenly our standards drop? It makes no difference. They're poor people. They should be glad for anything that we choose to give them. Now from this arises another concept. What if, for example, you have with you clothes that you used to wear several years ago? They're in very good condition. You won't wear them anymore. Does that mean that you can't give them away because you wouldn't wear them yourself? No, it doesn't mean that. There are obviously people who could put them to good use, so give them away. The important concept is that whatever you're giving away should be given with dignity. Please don't give a heap of crumpled clothes or just throw them in together. Don't give it like it's worthless rubbish. That's an insult that you're offering to the person and na'uzubillah to Allah as well, because you're giving it in the name of Allah. And secondly, it must be something that can be used. It must be something from which benefit can be derived. What's the point of giving torn clothes? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَعْلَمُوا نُوْ أَنَّ اللَّهَ غَنِيٌ حَمِيدٌ. Allah is rich, that Allah has no need of rotten sadaqat. And Allah is praiseworthy in Himself. He doesn't need ibadah to become more exalted. Now comes the verse which explains what prevents us from spending, the barriers in the path of spending. If you look at this whole passage, it can be logically sequenced. First came the best form of spending. Then came the method of spending. Then came the spirit of spending. Then came the three things that delete spending. Then came three examples that highlighted the importance of the right intention and the right method. And now comes what to spend. And now in 268 comes the barriers in the path of spending. And the greatest barrier, الشيطان يعدكم الفقر, Shaitan promises you poverty. This is why the scholars emphasize that when you want to give a sadaqah, give it on the spot. Please do not sit down to think about it. The minute you sit down to think about it, Shaitan will remind you of a list of 1,000 other priorities that must come before you can actually give this money. So even if you get around to giving the sadaqah, it will be in a much reduced form. Like sometimes you read an inspiring verse and you think to yourself, okay, I'll go home and I'll give my favorite thing for Allah's sake. If you go home and give it immediately, inshallah, it's done. Hopefully Allah will accept. But if you go home and start thinking about it, and okay, let's think about it, let me discuss it with so-and-so and so-and-so, by the time morning comes, we will have remembered 100 other urgent reasons why we cannot part with that favorite thing, but we can give something that's lesser. Remember that Shaitan's constant goal is to make us stop doing good deeds. Or if he cannot stop us, then he will try and reduce those good deeds. This is what happens. You want to give a sadaqah, you want to give a huge sadaqah. Suddenly your heart fills with love for Allah and you go, I want to give a huge amount for Allah's sake, for my Allah. It's time I did something for my Allah. And then what happens? Shaitan says, but what about this? What about the dentist fees? What about those clothes that you have to pay for as yet? And so on and on, الشيطان يعدكم الفقر. He promises you poverty. You can't afford it. Let's not be impulsive here. Let's not be rash. Let's not be reckless. Let's take it one step at a time. What about moderation? And spending on your family is also a sadqa. Spending on yourself is a sadqa. Deen and dunya go side by side, hand in hand. Sacrifice, occasional sacrifices are good for the soul. And they're good for the hereafter. الشيطان يعدكم الفقر, but Shaitan will never let you give your best. This whole passage is about teaching us to give our best to Allah in the best method possible, with the best intention possible, so we derive the best reward possible. But Shaitan will always try and make us reduce, minimize. You can't afford this, that's too much. Allah doesn't need it. it's your intention. Your intention is pure. You'll get the reward for your intention. أَشْشَيْطَانُ يَعِدُكُمُ الْفَقْرَ. Shaitan promises you poverty. وَيَأْمُرُكُمْ بِالْفَحْشَى. And he enjoins you with indecency. What does this mean? When it comes to spending on our whims, or our caprices, or our fantasies, we will always find the money. We'll scrape around, we'll scrounge around in a barrel, we'll find some way of fulfilling our desires. And when it comes to giving for Allah's sake, then suddenly we remember moderation, suddenly we remember prudence, suddenly we remember foresight and planning for the future. وَاللَّهُ يَعِدَكُمْ مَغْفِرَةً مِّنْهُ وَفَضْلًا. Allah also promises you something. But whereas Shaitan's promise is a lie, Allah's promise is true. What does Allah promise us? مَغْفِرَةً, forgiveness. وَفَضْلًا, and bounty. Subhanallah. When you give a sadaqah, whether it's a rupee or a lakh rupees, instantly what happens? Some sins are deleted. Then what happens? Allah starts giving you. When Allah speaks about giving to us, this is again in the Quran, whatever you spend, Allah will give you back in return. Allah will replace it. Allah has no need of our money. He just wanted that act of love. That's all He wanted from us, for our sake, for our akhirah. So here Allah says that when you give a sadaqah, A, you gain forgiveness, and B, you gain much more than what you gave. Allah will give it back to you in some way or the other. He'll give it back in a tangible form. You'll suddenly discover a sum of money that you've totally forgotten about. You'll suddenly receive an unexpected windfall. Try it and see. He will give it back to you in an intangible form. When you pray, your heart will be full of joy. Your heart will have a little bubble of happiness and excitement that you did something for Allah. Because earlier on, Allah promised us that people who give sadaqah are people who have no fears and nor do they grieve. And this is one of the best cures for depression, giving a sadaqah. You're depressed, you're upset, feel like crying, you don't know why, give a sadaqah. And give as much as you can, and give it as secretly as you can. وَاللَّهُ وَاسِعٌ عَلِيمٌ. And Allah is vast, all-knowing. Have you noticed this is the second time this phrase has come? وَاسِعٌ, His treasuries are boundless, and His love is boundless, and His generosity is boundless. We are so miserly that when people do something for us, we're still haggling with the price for them. You ask someone to do a piece of work for you, and at the end of the work, even if they do the labor perfectly, we're still arguing, no, you know, this rate is too expensive for me and I can't afford this. But Allah is wasi'un. You do one little thing for Him, and He will reward you in a way that you cannot even begin to imagine. Aleem. And the reward depends upon you and your intention. And the way you gave it, and what it cost you. Wasi'un Aleem is a powerful combination that only Allah determines how far the reward goes, because only Allah knows the intention with which you gave it. This knowledge, the knowledge of the best way of spending, or knowing how to maximize your good deeds, is called hikmah. يُؤْتِ الْحِكْمَةَ مَنْ يَشَاءُ. He gives wisdom to whom He wills. وَمَنْ يُؤْتَ الْحِكْمَةَ. And whoever is given wisdom, فَقَدْ أُوْتِيَ خَيْرًا كَثِيرًا. He has been given abundant good. This is such a beautiful verse. What is hikmah? Hikmah is the power of decision making. Wisdom. Wisdom in knowing how to live your life. Wisdom in knowing how to please Allah. Hikmah has also been defined as knowledge of the Quran and Sunnah. مَنْ يُؤْتَ الْحِكْمَةِ. If you are given this book, you need nothing else. فَقَدْ أُوْتِيَ خَيْرًا كَثِيرًا. But مَا يَذَكَّرُ إِلَّا أُولُو الْأَلْبَابِ. Only people of depth will understand this. Shallow people will still feel ashamed. وَمَا أَنْفَقْتُم مِّن نَفَقَةٍ. Whatever you spend of spending. أَوْ نَذَرْتُم مِّن نَذْرٍ. Or you make a vow. فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ يَعْلَمُهُ. Allah knows it well. Such is Allah's generosity that any halal money that we spend, for example on our children or on our wife, is also considered a sadaqah. This is Allah's generosity. That for example, you're buying food, you're buying provisions for the family, and your intention is that I'm doing it to please Allah, then that is also a sadaqah. أَوْ نَذَرْتُم مِّن نَذْرٍ, or any vow that you make, فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ يَعْلَمُهُ, then Allah knows it well. Now what is this concept of nazar? Very briefly, there are two kinds of nazar. وَمَا لِلظَّالِمِينَ مِنْ أَنصَارٍ, and the wrongdoers have no helpers. إِن تُبْدُوا الصَّدَقَاتِ فَنِعِمَّا هِي. Now comes an important concept, winding up. If you disclose the sadaqat, then that is well. But إِن تُخْفُوهَا, if you hide them, وَتُؤْتُوهَا الْفُقَرَى, and you give them to the needy, فَهُوَ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ, then that is better for you. Now up till now the emphasis has been on hiding your sadaqat. Here we learn that there are two occasions on which you can actually disclose or divulge your sadaqat. Number one, when you're giving zakat, for example. Why? Because zakat is farz. See, this is a really important concept to understand. Like sometimes you're at a party and you hear the azan. Some people will not get up to pray, saying, if we get up to pray, we'll be showing off, so we'll go home and read it, qaza. That is an act of gross folly, because number one, salah is farz. Whether you read it alone or you read it before people, you're not supposed to show off when you read it, but you have to read it anyway. So there's no act of riya as such in reading salah before people. It's not like nawafit. Farz is farz. In the same way, zakat is farz. Now if you mention that you are giving your zakat to someone, this will remind them that they have to pay zakat as well. This is why it's allowed. The second aspect, or the only other situation where you're allowed to talk about sadaqat you give, never the person whom you gave to, never that. But you're allowed to mention that you gave a sadaqah, is if it's done with the purpose of inspiring others. For example, you want your sister to give a sadaqah, so you mention casually that, you know, I found it really difficult to give a sadaqah, but alhamdulillah I was able to. Don't mention the amount or the specific details, but just mention the fact. And human nature being what it is, then your sister will remember, what if I've not given a sadaqah for a long time and maybe I should take out a sadaqah. And second thing that you're allowed to mention, if you are doing it with the purpose of inspiring people, but again the concept is clear, there should be no thought of self-rejection. And since this is dangerous, you tell yourself, I'm doing it so she gets inspired, but what if in between there's a little evil seed that says, and she will also know how wonderful you are. So it's best to do these things anonymously. It's best to play it safe. إِن تُخْفُوهَا, if you hide it, وَتُؤْتُوهَا الْفُقَرَى, and you give it to the needy people. Fuqara is not beggars, as I've explained before. Fuqara are destitute people. فَهُوَ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ, that is better for you. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the secret sadaqah extinguishes the anger of Allah. There are some days and some moments in our life when we feel Allah is angry with us. There's a feeling of agitation in your heart and you just feel as if Allah is not pleased with you. Give a sadaqah in secret. Immediately. Don't delay. فَهُوَ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ, that is better for you. وَيُكَفِّرُ عَنْكُمْ مِنْ سَيِّئَاتِكُمْ, he will atone for you. He will expiate for you for some of your sins. He'll wipe out some of your sins. Obviously, all sins cannot be deleted with sadaqah. That, for example, I steal an orphan's wealth, then I go and give a huge sadaqah. It's not going to be accepted. So some sins will be forgiven, not all. When we violate hukukul ibad, we have to make up to those people before Allah forgives us. Wallahu, and Allah, bima, with what, ta'amaluna, you do, khabir, all aware. Allah is watching whatever you do, again and again and again. لَيْسَ عَلَيْكَ هُدَاهُمْ, their guidance is not upon you. وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ يَهْدِي مَنْ يَشَاءُ, but Allah guides whom He wills. وَمَا تُنْفِقُوا مِنْ خَيْرٍ, and whatever you spend of good, فَلِأَنفُسِكُمْ, it is for yourselves. This verse teaches us we are allowed to help non-Muslims. That's why Allah says their guidance is not binding upon you. We cannot give zakat to non-Muslims. Obviously, zakat is collected from Muslims, given to Muslims, but you can give money to non-Muslims. Otherwise, it doesn't seem fair, does it, that sometimes we have servants who are Christians, and they're very poor and they're very needy, and sometimes people will not give to them, we can't give zakat. You can't give zakat, but you can help them in other ways, and you should help them. This will be an incentive for them to accept Islam as well. So here Allah says, their guidance is not binding upon you, but Allah guides whom He wills. مَا تُنْفِقُ مِنْ خَيْرٍ أَبْ Whatever you spend of good, فَلِأَنفُسِكُمْ It's for yourselves, people. This is no favor that you've done to anyone. You've done yourself a favor. And specifically, مَا تُنْفِقُونَ إِلَّا ابْتِغَاءَ وَجْهِ اللَّهِ That which you spend seeking the pleasure of Allah. That's going to help you. And don't worry. وَمَا تُنْفِقُوا مِنْ خَيْرٍ Whatever good you spend, يُوَفَّى إِلَيْكُمْ It will be paid back in full to you. Sometimes you give a loan to a servant and he keeps assuring you, I'll give it back. And you're not too sure. It's a new servant, and when they go off for a holiday, you're not sure whether they'll return and you'll ever see your money again. But this is Allah who says, مَنْ زَلَّذِي يُقْرِدُ اللَّهَ قَرْضًا حَسَنًا This is giving a loan to Allah. يُوَفَّى إِلَيْكُمْ It will be paid back in full to you. وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تُظْلَمُونَ You will not be wronged. Now who are the best people that we should spend upon? لِلْفُقَرَاءِ الَّذِينَ أُحْصِرُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ For those needy people who were confined in the path of Allah, لَا يَسْتَطِعُونَ دَرْبًا فِي الْأَرْضِ They cannot travel in the land. يَحْسَبُهُمُ الْجَاهِلُ أَغْنِيَاءَ مِنَ التَّعَفُّ The ignorant thinks they are rich due to their self-restraint. تَعْرِفُهُمْ بِسِيمَاهُمْ You shall know them by their signs. لَا يَسْأَلُونَ النَّاسَ إِلْحَافًا They do not ask people by clinging to them. Now let's understand this concept. This verse describes people who have dedicated their lives to serving Islam in whatever way. Such people are kept so preoccupied by serving Islam that it leaves them no time or chance to earn money for themselves. The mu'mineen are supposed to protect these people because these people are in a way the caretakers of our deen. If you think about Ashab-e-Suffa, think about people like Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, who used to faint at times due to extreme hunger. They were the ones who protected our message for us. They were the ones who conveyed this deen to us today. Had it not been for them, we would not have this deen. We would have the Quran, but we would not have all that they left behind of knowledge of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So we owe them a debt. We owe them a great debt of gratitude. When we see people who are serving Islam so diligently that they have no time to earn for themselves, then their care becomes incumbent upon you and me. And this teaches us something very important. Listen to the words. They cannot travel in the land. Why? They have dedicated their lives to Islam. The ignorant, this is not illiterate ignorant, this is someone who is insensitive. Someone who is heedless, who is casual or careless. The ignorant person thinks that they are rich because of their self-restraint. People who are serving Islam, true people who serve Islam do not ask of others. And if they do, that's a sign that there's something wrong there. They're not beggars. And because they don't ask and they don't beg, casual people will assume, no, of course they're fine. I've never seen them in need. I've never seen them ask for anything. تَعْرِفُهُمْ بِسِيمَاهُمْ You will recognize them by their marks. These are people who are truly dedicated, who have given up everything for the sake of Islam. So their care becomes incumbent upon sensitive Muslims. Muslims are not supposed to be blinkered and go around just saying subhanallah without thinking about the needs of those around them. لَا يَسْأَلُونَ النَّاسَ إِلْحَافًا They do not ask people by clinging to them. Now this is an important concept that we need to understand. The concept of begging is forbidden in Islam. Absolutely. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, If one of you will keep begging of people until he meets Allah on the day of judgment, his face will be without a shred of flesh. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was asked by a companion, He says, I begged Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he gave me. I begged him again and he gave me. I begged him again and he gave me and he said, O Hakim, wealth is pleasant and sweet. He who acquires it with contentment, it becomes a source of blessing for him. But it is not blessed for him who seeks it out of greed. He is like one who goes on eating, but his hunger is not satisfied. The upper hand is better than the lower one. Hakim radiallahu anhu was so ashamed, he said, Ya Rasulallah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, by him who sent you with the truth, I will not after you ask anyone for anything until I leave this world. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu would summon Hakim to give his rations, but he would refuse. Umar radiallahu anhu would call him, but he would decline to accept anything. He did not accept anything from anyone after the death of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam till he died. And the point of the story is that shows us how scrupulous these men were. وَمَا تُنْفِقُوا مِنْ خَيْرٍ And whatever you spend of good, فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ بِهِ عَلِيمٍ Surely Allah knows it well. Now Allah sums up. أَلَّذِينَ يُنْفِقُونَ أَمْوَالَهُمْ And those who spend their wealth. بِاللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ By night and by day. سِرًّا وَعَلَانِيَا Secretly and openly. فَلَهُمْ أَجْرُهُمْ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ For them is their reward with their Rabb. وَلَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ No fear is upon them. وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ And nor shall they grieve. وَآخَرُ دَعْوَانَا أَنِ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ